Title 2. Theocracy. Title 2, Chapter 1. Office Restrictions. Section 1. A man who is made a eunuch by bruising, or by cutting, shall not come into the congregation of the Lord. Nor shall the son of a harlot come into the congregation of the Lord. Section 2. An Amorite, and a Moabite, shall not come into the congregation of the Lord. Even to the tenth generation, they shall not come into the congregation of the Lord, nay, even forever. Thou shalt not propose terms of peace with them, nor what is conducive to their welfare, all thy days, forever. Section 3. Thou shalt not abominate an Idumean, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not hold in abhorrence an Egyptian, because thou wast a sojourner in his land. If either of these have sons, they may come into the congregation of the Lord, in the third generation. Title 2, Chapter 2. Office Requirements. Section 4. Appoint for yourselves men of wisdom, knowledge and understanding, for your several tribes, and I will make them leaders over you. Section 5. Thou shalt appoint for thyself judges, and promulgators of the law, in the cities which the Lord thy God giveth thee, in every tribe. And they shall administer just judgment to the people. Section 6. I took from among you men of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and appointed them to be leaders over you, captains of thousands, and captains of hundreds, and captains of fifties, and captains of tens, and promulgators of the law for your judges. And I gave a charge to your judges at that time, saying, Hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger who is with him. Thou shalt not respect a person in judgment. Against the low and the high thou shalt pass sentence, and not be afraid of the face of man. For the judgment is God's. Section 7. They shall not wrest judgment, nor respect persons, nor shall they receive a gift. For gifts blind the eyes of the wise, and pervert the words of the righteous. Thou shalt pursue righteously what is right. Section 8. Thou shalt keep aloof from everything unjust. An innocent and a righteous man thou shalt not slay. Nor shalt justify a wicked man for the sake of bribes. Bribes thou shalt not receive, for they blind the eyes of them who see, and pervert judgment. Section 9. Cursed he who taketh bribes to slay an innocent person. Section 10. You shall not do an unjust thing in the execution of justice. Thou shalt not respect the face of the poor, nor revere the face of the mighty. With righteousness thou shalt judge thy neighbor. Section 11. In passing judgment thou shalt not be influenced by compassion for the needy. Section 12. Thou shalt not rest the judgment of a poor man in the trial of his cause. Section 13. Thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, or the orphan, or the widow. Section 14. Cursed he who perverteth the judgment of the stranger, or the orphan, or the widow. Section 15. Thou shalt not be with the majority in wickedness, nor join with the multitude to shut out justice. Title 2, Chapter 3. Testifications. Section 16. When anyone hath slain a person, thou shalt put to death the murderer, by witnesses, but one witness shall not testify against a person to cause him to be put to death. And you shall take no ransom for life from a man's slayer who is guilty of death, for he must be put to death, nor shall you take any ransom from him who hath fled to a city of refuge that he may dwell again in his land. So you will not pollute with blood the land in which you dwell, for this blood polluteth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed from the blood which is shed in it, but by the blood of him who shed it. You must not defile the land in which you dwell, in which I dwell among you. Section 17. One witness shall not be sufficient to testify against a man for any iniquity, or any crime, or any sin, which he may commit. By the mouth of two witnesses, or by the mouth of three witnesses, everything shall be established. Section 18. On the testimony of two or three witnesses the guilty person shall be put to death, but shall not be put to death on the testimony of one witness. And the hand of the witness shall be upon him, among the first, to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of the people. So thou shalt remove the wickedness from among you. Title 2, Chapter 4. Sentencing. Section 19. If any cause which requireth judicial decision, an action of murder, an action of appeal, a case of leprosy, an action of plaint and denial, any causes which require decision in any of your cities, be too difficult for thee, thou shalt arise, and go up to the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen, and there come to the priests, the Levites, or to the judge, whoever he may be in those days, and they shall inquire, and declare to thee the sentence of judgment, and thou shalt act according to what they declare to thee from the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen, and thou shalt be careful to do according to what is expounded to thee for law. According to the law, and according to the sentence of judgment, which they tell thee, thou shalt do. Thou shalt not deviate from what they tell thee, either to the right, or to the left. And if any man act presumptuously, so as not to hearken to the priest who hath stood to minister to the name of the Lord thy God, or to the judge who may be in those days, that man shall be put to death. So thou shalt remove the evil person from among you, and all the people, when they hear, will be struck with awe, and no more act presumptuously. Section 20. When a controversy happeneth between men, and they have come to a trial, and the trial is over, and the righteous is acquitted, and the criminal known. In case the criminal deserve to be beaten, thou shall make him lie down, before the judges, and they shall cause him to be beaten, in their presence, according to his wickedness. With the number of 40 stripes they may cause him to be beaten. They shall not exceed that. If thou shouldst proceed to inflict more stripes than these, thy brother will become vile in thy sight. Section 21. Fathers shall not be put to death for children, nor the children for fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Section 22. If any man commit a sin incurring death, and he be put to death, and you hang him on a gibbet, his body shall not remain on the gibbet, but you shall bury it the same day. Because everyone who is hanged on a gibbet is accursed of God. Title 2, Chapter 5. Cities of Refuge. Section 23. Thou shalt set apart for thyself three cities, in the midst of that thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Make straight the way for thee, and divide into three districts the bounds of thy land which the Lord thy God parceleth out to thee, and in each district let there be a place of refuge for the slayer. Section 24. You will set apart for yourself cities, which shall be your places of refuge, to which the manslayer may flee. When any person killeth another unwittingly, those cities will be places of refuge from the avenger of blood, that the manslayer may not die, until he stand before the congregation for trial. They shall be a refuge for the children of Israel, and for the proselyte, and the sojourner among you. Section 25. Thou shalt set apart three cities for thyself. And when the Lord thy God shall enlarge thy borders, thou shalt add three cities more for thyself, besides these three, so that guiltless blood may not be shed in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for a possession. Section 26. This shall be the ordinance for every slayer who may flee thither, and live. Whosoever shall smite his neighbor unawares, and hated him not in times past. For instance, whosoever shall go with his neighbor into the forest to collect wood, and the hand of him who is cutting the wood with an axe being drawn back, the iron shall slip from the helve, and accidentally fall on his neighbor, and he die. Such a one shall flee with speed to one of the cities, and live. Lest the avenger of blood pursuing, because his heart is inflamed, should overtake him, if the way be too long, and slay him, though he is not guilty of death, because he hated him not in time past. Section 27. These cities are to be places of refuge, to which every one may flee who hath smitten a person unawares. But if he hath smitten him with an instrument of iron, and he die, he is a murderer. Let the murderer be put to death. And if he hath smitten him with a stone out of his hand, by which he might be killed, and he die, he is a murderer. Let the murderer be put to death. And if he hath smitten him with any instrument of wood out of his hand, by which he might be killed, and he die, he is a murderer. Let the murderer be put to death. The avenger of blood himself shall kill him. When he meeteth him he shall slay him. And if, through hatred, he hath pushed him down, or thrown at him from ambush, any instrument whatever, and he die. Or if on account of an old grudge he hath smitten him with his hand, and he die. Let him who smote be put to death, he is a murderer. Let the murderer be put to death. The avenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. But if on a sudden, not through malice aforethought, he hath pushed him down, or thrown any instrument at him, not from ambush, nor with any stone by which he might be killed, or not seeing him, and it light upon him, and he die, and he was not his enemy, nor seeking to do him any injury, the congregation shall judge between him who smote, and the avenger of blood, according to these rules of decision. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer from the avenger of blood, and the congregation shall send him back to the city of his refuge, to which he fled, and he shall dwell there. And if the manslayer go out of the bounds of the city of his refuge to which he fled, and the avenger of blood find him out of the bounds of the city of his refuge, and the avenger of blood kill the slayer, he is not guilty of death. Section 28. There must not be among you one guilty of blood. If therefore there be among you a man who hateth his neighbor, and who shall lie in wait for him, and rise up against him, and smite him so that he die, and flee to one of these cities, the senate of his city shall send and take him thence, and deliver him into the hands of the avenger of blood, and he shall be put to death. Thine eye shall not spare him. So shalt thou purge away guiltless blood from Israel, and it shall be well with thee. Title 2, Chapter 6. Chief, an unintended office. Section 29. If thou shouldst say, I will set a chief over me, as the other nations around me do. Thou shalt surely set, as chief over thee, him whom the Lord thy God shall choose. Thou shalt appoint one of thy brethren chief over thee. Thou shalt not be at liberty to set a stranger over thee, because he is not thy brother. Because he is not to multiply cavalry for himself, he must not even cause his people to go back to Egypt. In order that he may not multiply his cavalry, the Lord indeed hath said, You shall not henceforth return that way any more. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart may not turn aside, nor shall he greatly multiply for himself silver and gold. And when he is settled in his government, he shall write for himself this repetition of the law in a book, from that which is in the custody of the priests, the Levites. And he shall keep it by him, and shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord thy God, and to keep all these commandments, and execute all these judgments, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from these commandments, to the right, or to the left, to the end that he and his sons may long enjoy his government. Title 2, Chapter 7. Rules of Assemblage. Section 30. Make for thyself two silver trumpets. Thou shalt make them of ductile silver, each beaten out of one piece. And they shall serve thee to assemble the congregation, and to cause the camps to remove. Section 31. When thou shalt blow with them, all the congregation shall assemble. But when one is blown, all the chiefs, the leaders of Israel, shall come to thee. When you blow an alarm, the camps on the east shall begin their march. And when you blow a second alarm, the camps on the south shall begin their march. And when you blow a third alarm, the camps on the west shall begin their march. And when you blow a fourth alarm, the camps on the north shall begin their march. They shall blow an alarm for their marching. And when you would assemble the congregation, you are to blow with them, but not an alarm. This shall be a perpetual ordinance for you, throughout your generations. Section 32. When you go out to battle in your land, against your enemies, who have risen up against you, you shall sound these trumpets, that you may be brought into remembrance before the Lord, and saved from your enemies. Section 33. In the days of your rejoicings also, and at your festivals, and at your head of months you shall blow the trumpets, and it shall be a calling of you into remembrance before your God. Title 2, Chapter 8. Real Property. 78. Section 34. Land must not be sold forever, for the land is mine. Because you are strangers, and sojourners before me, therefore in all the land of your possession, you shall grant a right of redeeming the land. And if thy brother who is with thee become poor, and sell any part of his possession, when he who is next of kin to him cometh, he shall redeem what his brother hath sold. And if any person hath none to redeem, and his own hand hath attained, and found a sufficiency, he shall have the right of redemption. And he shall compute the years of his sale, and pay back what is still due to the man to whom he sold it. So shall he return to his possession. But if his hand cannot attain a sufficiency to repay him, the sale shall be good to him who purchased, until the last sixth year of the Jubilee, and in the Jubilee, he shall quit, and the seller shall return to his possession. And if any person sell a dwelling house in a walled city, he shall have the right of redeeming it till the term expire. The term for redemption shall be a year. And if it be not redeemed till the whole year expire, the house which is in the walled city shall be confirmed forever to the purchaser. And he shall not go out in the Jubilee. But the houses which are in villages, unsurrounded with walls, shall be accounted as the fields in the country, and shall be always subject to redemption, and go out in the Jubilee. Title 2, Chapter 9. Weights and Balances. Section 35. You shall not do injustice in the exercise of judgment, nor in measures, nor in weights, nor in balances. You shall have among you just balances, just weights, and a just measure. Section 36. Thou shalt not have in thy bag different weights, a great and a small. Nor shall there be in thy house, different measures, a great and a small. Thou shalt have a just and true weight, and thou shalt have a just and true measure. For every one who doth these things, every one who committeth injustice, is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Section 37. Yet if thou hast not rightly divided, hast thou not sinned? Title 2, Chapter 10. Migrants. Section 38. If any stranger come among you in your land, you shall not afflict him. The stranger who cometh to you, shall be as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. Section 39. Love ye therefore the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Section 40. You shall not afflict a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger. Section 41. A stranger you shall not injure, nor shall you afflict him. Title 2, Chapter 11. Militia. Section 42. If there be any man who hath built a new house, and hath not dedicated it, let him go, and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. Or is there any man who hath planted a vineyard, and hath not been regaled with it? Let him go, and return to his family, lest he die in the battle, and another man be regaled with it. Or is there any man who hath betrothed a wife, and hath not taken her home? Let him go, and return to his family, lest he die in the battle, and another man take her. And the scribes shall further speak to the people, and say, Is there any man fearful, and faint-hearted? Let him go, and return to his family, lest he make the heart of his brother faint as his own. And when the scribes have done speaking to the people, they shall appoint the chiefs of the army to lead on the people. Section 43. If any man hath lately taken a wife, he shall not go out to battle, nor shall he be charged with any business. He shall be free at home 1 year, that he may cheer his wife whom he hath taken. Section 44. When thou goest out to encamp against thine enemies, thou shalt be on thy guard against every evil thing. If there be with thee a man who is unclean, by reason of any nightly pollution, he shall go out of the camp, or he shall not come into the camp. But towards evening he shall wash his body with water, and when the sun is set, he may come into the camp. Section 45. Thou shalt have a place without the camp, and thou shalt go out thither. And thou shalt have in thy girdle a spaddle, and when thou hast eased thyself abroad, thou shalt dig with it, and cover thy uncleanness. Because the Lord thy God walketh about in thy camp, to save thee, and subdue thine enemy before thee, therefore thy camp must be holy. There must be nothing unseemly seen with thee, that he may not turn away from thee. Title 2, Chapter 12. Rules of Engagement. Section 46. When thou shalt go out to battle against thine enemies, and see horsemen, and charioteers, and the people more numerous than thou art, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Section 47. Now when thou shalt sit down before a city, many days, to war against it till it be taken, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by striking an axe against them. That especially, the fruit of which thou mayst eat, thou shalt not cut down. Doth any man wish to have a tree in the field for the purpose of a rampart for thee? Let it be that only which thou knowest is not a fruit-bearing tree. This thou mayst destroy and cut down, to build ramparts against the city which resisteth thee, until it be delivered up. Section 48. When thou art come to a city, to fight against it, thou shalt call upon the inhabitants to come out peaceably. And if they return thee a peaceful answer, and open to thee, all the people who have found therein shall be tributary to thee, and be thy subjects. But if they hearken not to thee, and make war against thee, thou shalt besiege it, until the Lord thy God deliver it into thy hands. And when thou hast smitten all the males therein with the slaughter of the sword, thou shalt take for thyself, besides the women and the children, all the cattle, and all spoils that are in the city, and eat all the prey of thine enemies, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In this manner thou shalt treat all the cities which are at a great distance from thee, which are not of the cities of those nations whose land the Lord thy God giveth thee for a possession. Of these you shall save none alive that breatheth, but, with an anathema, thou shalt devote to destruction the Shethite and the Amorite, and the Chananite, and the Pherezite, and the Vite, and the Jebusite, and the Jergasite, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. Section 49. Thou shalt blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven. Thou must not forget. Section 50. When thou goest out to war against thine enemies, and the Lord thy God hath delivered them into thy hands, and thou hast taken their prey, and hast seen, among the captives, a woman of a comely appearance, and hast loved her, and hast taken her to thyself for a wife, and brought her home to thy house, thou shalt shave her head, and pare her nails, and take from her the garments of her captivity, and she shall remain in thy house, and bewail her father, and her mother, a full month, and after that thou mayst go in unto her, and cohabit with her, and she shall be thy wife. And in case thou dislike her, thou shalt send her away free. She shall not be sold for money. Thou shalt not deal falsely with her, because thou hast humbled her,